So, I'm not Matt. Quite obvious, isn't it? And Matt was supposed to be speaking today, and a couple of weeks ago, Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to go off and spend time with your family. They've got this weekend opportunity to spend time together before jobs change and all sorts of other exciting things happen. And so Matt was obedient. But in that, he meant he sent out an email to those of us on the preaching team, and it went something like, could somebody else step in for me, please? And I don't remember replying to it. And then I got to Monday just gone, and Holy Spirit was just like this, and I'm like, no. But you can't argue with it. Well, you can argue, but it's going to win in the end, isn't he? So I'm still trying to learn that one. So if you've ever had that moment where you're sending an email or you're saying something to someone that is volunteering your services, but in your head you're like, but why? And it's Monday, and that's only however many days away, and I've got a three-day conference with work in between, and Holy Spirit was just like, and? Do it. So here I am. Okay. So very strangely, we are going to be looking at spacing our pies. Let me just remember to turn that on and then hopefully get. So if you don't remember anything else, remember that your Father loves you and he loves it when you eat pies, but eat them in moderation. Okay. If you weren't here last week and you didn't hear Rich, I would encourage you to grab hold of a recording or go onto the church website. Let's just see if I remember. Yes, okay. Some of the truth that has been on our journey so far is actually what we've just been worshipping about. You know, and I was excited when I came in this morning and Tina was like, Rara, and God, and I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, you did have a plan. Okay, right. There is a holy, awesome God. He is our Father. He loves us unconditionally. There is nothing we can ever do to make him love us any more or any less than he did on the cross, than he does today, and he will do for eternity. They are some of the truths that God's wanting to get in here. Okay, so I'm just praying, Holy Spirit, that you take what is you and get rid of everything else. We are sons and daughters of the Most High, so heads up. I don't have to walk around with my head down. I am his daughter. There is no better calling, there is no better name than that. That means that I can freely and without hesitation, without being timid, I can't say the itity thing on the end of it, okay? Without being timid, I can come into his presence whenever I want. Why? Because he tells me so, and because when Jesus died on that cross, he tore the veil in two. We are co-heirs with Jesus. If you don't know him, we believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He lived, he died, he went into hell, he stuffed Satan one, he took back the keys of death, he rose, and because he rose, we get to live. Oh, where, oh, death, is your sting? You know, and there's things that we face in life, and it's, oh, death, where is your sting? We've been given Holy Spirit to empower us, to encourage us, to anoint us. We are never, never, never alone. We have that same power and that same authority that Jesus had. We have it. It's not just Richard. It's not just Richard who needs to get his oil out and pray for the sick. Every single one of us who knows him here can do the same. Why? Because of Jesus. We'll have a little look at that. So God has been preparing us, and he is inviting us into the best journey that there is, being ambassadors for him, being his representative, whether that's within our families, within our work, within the places where we live, etc., 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 if ever you've seen the old version of King and I. And that kind of excites me, but it makes me a little bit, oh, my life, Lord. Because actually, I've got to take that step of faith. And if I take that step of faith, but what if? Okay. And he blows my mind every time. And then On Friday, I get the delights of putting together the newsletter. I love it. And Matt had a prophetic word. Hands up here if you've got your newsletter and you've read it. Few of you. Right, okay. So for those of you that don't, that doesn't matter, but if you've got an email address, give it to us, we'll sign you up for it. But this was a prophetic picture, a prophetic word that Matt had about today. When I was first reading it, I'm thinking, oh God, but I'm speaking today. So, you know, no, actually, it's a timely prophetic word. It is about it being an important day. And he was looking and praying and saying, well, God, what is the significance in this? And he felt that God was saying that where we have been in this season as church family together, he's been preparing us. What for? To go out, to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives. That we've been seeing change, but it's been small. And that this is the last day of our preparation. I really believe God has got something amazing prepared for us over the rest of this year and beyond. The time of training is nearly over. Now is the time for us to go out onto the battlefield, and we are going to see him move in ways that are greater than we could ever ask for or imagine. And actually, some of those words that Matt's put in there are God's words. They're in the Bible, so guess what? It's going to happen. There's truth in there. So some of the truths about my spacing my pies, and we get to the spacing and we get to the pies, honestly, but I didn't bring any pies for you to eat. I've got a spiritual one for you instead. Okay, so I'm on a journey, we're all on a journey, discovering who we are in Christ. Not who I am as a Mead, not who I am as a teaching fellow, not who I am as church family here. I am on a journey discovering who I am in Christ, being certain that I am his and he is mine, that he never lets me go. He will never leave me. I wish I could say that I live in those absolute truths all the time, but I don't. Why? Because I'm human. And my God knows that. And he's already made a way and made a plan in that, because that's Holy Spirit. He does not promise that when we become Christians, our lives suddenly become a bed of roses. Doesn't happen, unfortunately. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But what he does promise is that he will never leave us, and he promises us fullness of life, eternal life. Do you know that? Is it in your spirit? That, and I loved it because already what's come out about the plans and the purposes that he has for every single person sat here, stood here, individually and as family together. They are plans to prosper and not to harm us. So there's some of the truths. And if you're not certain about some of your identity in Christ, some of those truths, grab one of us. Have a cuppa, let's go and have an amble, a walk, and let's have a chat about our Abba. Colossians 6:8 says, since you've accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him. Keep your roots deep in him. And that's something I had before I'd seen the declaration. And when I saw the declaration, I'm like, oh, okay, God, okay. I think you're wanting to say something to me, but is it just me or is it for everyone else? Pacing is what my spacing is all about in my title, okay? I'm not talking about pacing around in a circle because you're frustrated. You're thinking, where am I going? What am I doing? As some of you know, my life these past few years has been about having all of these truths kind of bombarded at me, wanting to get in, wanting to take deep root, but in a body that doesn't always work in the way that it should do, with a mind that doesn't always work in the way that it should do. And my energy levels can be hit big time as a result. That is partly why I sit down now when I'm speaking, when actually I love to be moving around. It is about pacing. And I'd get bombarded by that term by medical bods and OTs, occupational therapists and physios. They're all trying to do their best, but I got fed up of the word pacing. Pacing in the dictionary, as it's up on the screen, means to avoid doing something too quickly or doing too much at one time that if I'm pacing, I have enough energy left to finish the task, to finish what I'm doing. If I'm not pacing correctly, I run out of energy, I run out of time. I don't know if you remember the muscular legs from last week that Richard had up on the screen. I do, I don't know why. But actually, some runners, when they are in a race, they line up at the edge and they're all prepared to go and they're listening for that gun. And kind of in their visual field, off to the side, not in the actual race, and I never understand why, but there is somebody who, when the gun goes and that bod sets off, he's got this person in his eyesight and he is setting his pace in order for him to be able to finish that race or her. This bod sets the pace. And once the person running is in that pace, the pacemaker stops. And I'm like, well, what's the point? Why don't you run instead of that person? But anyway, you know, so for me, Holy Spirit is my pacemaker. He sets my pace. He gives me the right timing, the right energy that I need for whatever he has called me to that day. I thought the picture of the tortoise and the hare, you know, the tortoise can't really pace because he can't go any faster than he already is, but he never stopped. And the hare, in his arrogance, thought, I'm going to beat him no end. I'm going to sit down and have a bit of a nap. And he slept too long. So sleep is a good thing, but not too much of it. And then at the, and kind of underneath the wiggly chart, you know, what is my baseline for my energy and for my spies that I will come on to in a minute? And where actually do I end up overloaded? And for me, this is not my diary, I hasten to add, because it's got Weight Watchers on there, and I would never go there. Why pay money? But anyway, for me, the reality of my body and my mind in with work and church and everything else means I have to pace, which means I have to plan and prioritise, words that none of us really like. For me, I have to use a monthly calendar. The first thing that goes into my calendar, because it is a priority, is Sunday mornings. I want to come here, not necessarily to see you, sorry, but actually I want to come where there are fellow believers who are going to be worshipping God. And I want to put myself in that environment, whether I feel like it on that week or not, that actually I'm like, here I am, God. Come and have your way. So for me, prioritising a Sunday, irrespective of what my mood might be, what my energy levels might be. You might see me sat here some days, you might see me stood and moving around. What you might not see is that some Sundays I go home and I go straight to bed. I don't sleep, but I have to physically rest. There are some things like the Eastgate weekend, it might be a friend's wedding, there might be something really important that's on somewhere in one of those weekends, so I bung it in. And I've got work that has to go in Monday to Thursday. Everything else gets built around those priorities. But I'm also learning I have to give Holy Spirit a little bit of space. Because he might say, Lisa, I want you to book tea with somebody on your way home from work. And I'll be, but you know how shattered I am, and I'll just want to get home and collapse. Yeah, but I want you to go and have some fellowship. And so I'm learning to trust him in that and book some of those things in. But I have to book him in. I've lost the days of being spontaneous in the main. So I've always looked at pacing as a part of my sickness, my disease. In some ways, I felt like it cursed me that I actually have to live with pacing. And I got a bit frustrated and I got a bit annoyed. I have to say no to some things or some of you, even when I want my no to be yes. It's not about you, it's about me trying to keep a balance, because my life is about my spies. I don't know if you can read it anyway, because my writing's awful. My spies, my spiritual life, my physical body, my intellect, my emotions, my social interactions, relationships. If you go and do a Google about mental health and well-being, you will get some of those. You might get 6 or 7 different ones as well. My spies. Spiritual life. How's your spiritual life going on? How's your physical body? How's your intellect, your intelligence? Are you as sharp as you normally are? What about your emotions? And what about social activities? Are you actually interacting with others, or are you fading away? It's a challenge to me, and I have to say that this is truth that I am trying to learn and apply every day, not that I'm here. Okay, just put that little liner in there. And then I have all of this swirling around in my head and thinking, well, God, it can't be a curse, because actually I'm learning much more about you. And then I meet up with a friend from old. I nearly put an old friend, but I thought, no, she's a friend from old. And when we don't get to see each other much, and it's actually been a few years since we've really sat down and had a bit of a natter. And one of the first things we are asking each other is, how are your spies? Because we've given each other permission to speak into each other's life in all those areas of our lives, not just the spiritual. And so we're catching up, and I was speaking about pacing and my frustrations and all that jazz. And she just leant forward and she went, Lise, she said, but can't you see you've been given a gift? And I was like, what? And she went, you've been given a gift. She said, not all of us have the skill in pacing. Not all of us have the skill in resting. That's another word for pacing. You might use the word soaking. That stepping back and resting, taking time out. And she reminded me of Matthew 11. So I've got a verse up there, but I love the Message version, so you're going to have to bear with me, all right. So Jesus said, are you tired? Anyone tired? Okay. Worn out? Burned out on religion? Because I know I am. You know, someone said the other day, oh, well, but you're a religious Lisa. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Religion is man trying to please God. I can't do that. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn, I love it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And I would say that's part of my journey at the moment. Because if I let the labels that I live with dictate who I am, then I'd actually be someone who never got out of bed. Because that's the reality of how bad some of the conditions that I have could be. But by God's grace, I get out of bed. Some days it takes 15 minutes, other days it can take a couple of hours, but it doesn't matter. He enables me. So that has completely turned around the negative connotations I had about pacing. And it is a good skill to apply to my spies. You'll get sick to death of the word, and if I'd had a bit more time, you might have gone off with a bookmark or something with spies on it, so watch this space. So I don't know about you, but you know, are there areas of your life where you know, spies, some areas aren't doing quite so well. Now, as a church family, past few weeks, we have been slammed with all sorts, haven't we? We've had Dave and Kev in that car accident. Kev was given the God story, that we are the God story, but actually him sat there is a God story in and of itself, because he and Dave should not be here. They should have died in that car crash. If you see the pictures, you will understand why. but they are here because of God. Dave's wife, Wendy, witnesses it. You know, there is a trauma being involved in a car accident, I know, because I had one head on in 94, and I'm still here today. But you can kind of forget lessons that you learned from that. Claire was diagnosed with cancer. She started her chemo. Wendy's got all the scares going on with her heart. Luana with her knee. Peter. The list could just go on, couldn't it? And we all have stuff going on in our health or in our family lives, in our work lives, financially. There are so many trials and scares and trauma that has happened. What are we doing with it? How are we dealing with being hit by it? Our emotions are tugged, they're pulled. Perhaps you're not as full of energy as you once were. Perhaps, like me, you get a little frustrated a little bit quicker or get a bit sharper in your retorts to people, your patience levels fall. And it would just be so easy to roll with it and think, well, you know, this is life, and so just keep on swimming, as the fish would say. Well, yes and no. Because actually, we are not called to live on the roller coaster of life. We are called to live in Christ. We are called to live from stepping back, taking a breath, and saying, Holy Spirit, come. That place of rest in Christ, that place where He can come and give me that gift of peace. That is not about my circumstances. It's not about my situations. They are gifts from Him. God promises that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not need to fear evil. Why? Because His rod and His staff are with us, and they comfort and guide us. And that is a truth. For those of you that have been in that valley or who are in that valley at this moment in time, that is what God does for us. But He doesn't leave it there. He leads us beside His still waters through lush meadows. Psalm 23. You know, now for me, still waters or raging sea, lush meadows, that is where God nourishes my soul. I love going out into nature. For you, it might be something else. But those environments talk to me of soothing, of being peaceful, refreshing. And do you know what? Jesus is our example. Got a little quote up there from Mark 1. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. And then Matthew 14. Jesus hears that John is being murdered. And he's been amongst people, and he just thinks, I just need a moment to be with Dad. So what does he do? He gets in a boat and he goes out on the water, because that's the only way that he's going to get some time out, some time alone, some time to hear Father. What do the people do? They see him in the boat heading towards the other shoreline, so they all walk round following him. So when he gets to the other side, he's not alone anymore. There are thousands of people there. And what does he do when he gets out of the boat? He doesn't ignore everyone. He doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, but, you know, I need a bit more time. Actually, that's when the 5,000 plus or minus however many get fed from the bread and the fishes. So Jesus has learned to withdraw off to that solitary place. He got up early in the morning to go and pray. And that strategic withdrawal, that prayer time, becomes when my God can show me His heart, His will, His ways, a strategy for A, B, or C, you know, and suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm getting a bit in tune with Father. Coming from that place of rest. And I know when I'm not resting in Him, and you'd know it if you had to live under my roof, and thankfully nobody else but me does, because actually my patience levels and that, my tolerance levels can take a dive. And I know, yeah, I might physically need to go and have a rest, but maybe I need to just put some worship music on and have some time out with my Abba and let Holy Spirit come. in my old me, I didn't know how to value somebody, how to receive and give out love, how to be understanding, compassionate, full of grace. And I'm still learning. But Holy Spirit is teaching me those things. And he enables me to be those things. And shock horror when a student comes up and cries on your shoulder, and actually I don't punch them or push them away. I let them do it. You know, God moves in very mysterious ways. But withdrawing with him, that's when he shows me a bit more of his heart and he shows me some more of his truths. And these have all been mushing around within me. And then we had a preacher's team meeting on Thursday night, and there were a few bits that came out. Then with the newsletter, putting it all together on the Friday morning, I'm thinking, okay, God, maybe this is right. And maybe it's not just me that has all these things swirling at times. Maybe there are others. And maybe I'm not the only one who is learning about resting in him and then going out and serving, doing from that. So whoever we are, whatever our life might look like right now, God wants you to remember that he will strengthen you if you are feeling weak. He answers you. Doesn't always answer the answer that we want to hear, though. But his answers are always yes, no, or wait. He doesn't ever not listen. It doesn't matter what our lives look like right now, however long we've known Jesus as our saviour, lover, best friend, there is more to life. And it isn't just for us to wallow in and get nice and cozy with and enjoy. We have life-giving waters within us that God wants to flow out of us. And he gives us a choice in that as to whether we're going to put ourselves in that position to do so. So like Bob asking that guy, you know, could I pray for you? Because he's got life-giving waters. He's got the authority that Jesus gave to heal, to restore. So how are your spies? How are you spiritually, physically, intellectually, emotionally, socially? I talk with my students all the time about radiators and drains. Are you aware that you could be a radiator, but I could also be a drain? Okay, radiators, when I'm talking about radiators, it is that person, those people, that activity, that place that warms us up, that encourages us, that blesses us, that nurtures us, that we can relax in the midst of being so busy in an active word. And the importance of ring fencing radiator moments for all of my spies. Not just one of them, because they all need to be in balance. Putting those times into your diaries, ring fencing them. Oh, do you fancy coming for a coffee? Well, yeah, I'd love to come for a coffee, but actually I'm having coffee with Jesus at that time. So is there another time when you are free? Do you know what? That is okay. How we spend our time, who we spend our time with, what we are doing. Are they radiator moments? Are there drains? Drains. What activity, and dare I say what people, sorry, but I can be a drain. What things distract us, take energy out and leave us depleted? Those draining moments are moments we might not be able to avoid. But if you know that they're a draining moment, plan in a radiator moment afterwards. That is part of pacing. Okay? And it's not that we can avoid being a drain sometimes, you know, but ask God, God, will you just enable me that I can be a blessing to whoever I meet? That Holy Spirit, you will come and you will comfort, you will bring peace through that. So what are your radiator and what are your drains? And if you don't know, go away and in the week be asking. And we're going to have a little bit of time in a minute where we're going to put on a song that actually we've already sung this morning because we're going to have a few minutes, at least 8 minutes, maybe 15. It's a YouTube video. I know the length of time that it is. But where God can come and just be with you. And in the notices, what came out, again, I laughed, was about living a balanced life. My spies need to be balanced. If I'm spending too much time physically building up my muscles, then am I spending time with my family? Pastors, you know, it's important the role that you have, but actually are you ring-fencing time with your family? It will be different things for different ones of us, because we all have different spies that all work in different ways. So work is good, but too much of it could cause stress, which could result in sickness, resentment, depression, all of that jazz. I know, I was there. Food is good, but too much food gives you a belly, and it can lead to serious health problems. It's good to be organised, but perfectionists, there is a battle in learning, there is no such thing as perfection. And it doesn't matter how many times you do it and do it and do it, there will never be a time when you get to that place of thinking, yep, that's perfect, because in a perfectionist's eyes, nothing ever is. You know, and it can frustrate you, it can frustrate those around you. So maintaining a balance in life is one of the challenges that we have. So I'm going to encourage you to take a look at your life and ask Holy Spirit now as we, I mean, Andy's going to come in a minute and just say something, but be asking him, how are my spies doing, Lord? Are there any areas that are out of balance? What is it that you want to come and ask me about and give to me today? Because we need to be feeding our souls, to be giving Holy Spirit that time to come and minister to us. The song is definitely in a slow meditating mode, but it's an opportunity for us to have a Ray J a moment with our Abba. He wants to come and show you things, and it's different for every single one of you. For some, he wants to give you that gift of peace in the circumstances that you are in. For others, healing. And for some, I felt reassurance. And that's what he's been doing as you've been here this morning. He's been giving you reassurance. So in this time, if you want to stand, sit, lie, face a wall, it doesn't matter. Okay? We're going to have that time with him. If you want prayer, grab one of us. If God gives you a prophetic word or a word of knowledge for somebody, grab hold of somebody and go and deliver it. Don't hold it back. Because actually, God wants to bless each one of us. And how does he do that? Through each one of us. And as we bless somebody, we get it back at the same time. So, you know, why would we not want to do that?